pray for you before we sing.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you for Joe. We thank you for the man that he is, exactly as he is, as you made him. And pray that your word will come to us this morning through his words, and that his eyes will be on you at all times. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. How are we this morning? Oh, that's good to hear. Did you enjoy the coronation yesterday?
Yes.
I'm not intending to link the coronation of King Charles to this reading, but I think he will be a great king, and I'm sure all of us appreciate the extra day's bank holiday tomorrow. But let's admit, this morning we're here to worship the one true king in our lives. And the reading this morning shows us the privilege and the cost of following this king to Stephen, especially in the last moments of his life on earth. But who was Stephen? What had he done that made a mob of angry people murder him by the hurling of one rock, one stone at a time, until he was dead? This story is a reminder that during the celebrations of the Easter season, that the declaration, the Easter message, is not all about rejoicing and wonder and alleluias. It is a reminder that the Easter message is oh so costly, that it's about real lives and all parts of life. And that despite this wondrous story we have, this gospel we must proclaim to shout out. Many people will still resist its message, will still be offended by it, will still spill blood over it, will still take somebody's life over it. But how did Stephen get there? And is there anything for us to gain from these six verses? In the previous chapter of Acts, amid the rapidly growing numbers of believers, a dispute regarding food being distributed fairly came about. And the 12 disciples realized that they needed help in running of things. In the passage, it says to wait on the tables. Anyway, this would let the disciples use their time better if they had some help, so they could spread the message. So 7 were chosen from the number of believers, men who were full of spirit and wisdom. And these 7 were named in the passage, including Stephen. And we know all of them were full of spirit and wisdom. But in the passage, Stephen is also characterized uniquely, out of all of the 7, as a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So Stephen, along with the other 6, were presented to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them, and the gospel spread. The rest of Acts 6 and 7, up to our reading this morning, is dedicated to Stephen in particular. In the next verse, it appears that he's doing more than just waiting on tables. It says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, bless you. A man full of God's grace and power performed great wonders and signs among the people. So we know this so far about Stephen, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, full of God's grace, full of God's power, and performing great wonders and signs. No surprise, opposition quickly grew against Stephen. They tried to argue with him, but they couldn't match his spirit-led wisdom, so instead accused him of blasphemy and dragged him before the Sanhedrin. Now that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Stephen is accused. But Luke mentions something. He says that while he was being scrutinized, they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. He is then asked, are these charges true? And Stephen proceeds to give them an extended history of the nation from Abraham to Solomon. Now, this is one of six extended speeches that can be found in Acts. And the other five are attributed to Peter and Paul. So the fact that Stephen's speech is in there might demonstrate how important Stephen is to the story of Christianity. The speech is fantastic, but it is also the longest in Acts. It is 50 verses long, and I don't think we've got time really to go into depth today about it. I mean, I've not even got to today's reading yet. Stephen closes his sermon by accusing those in front of him of being stiff-necked, resisting the Holy Spirit, killing the righteous one, not obeying the laws. Well, you could say that this upset them, as they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him, which is a description they used to demonstrate rage. And it is this that brings us to this morning's reading. It is now the angelic-looking Stephen delivers the final straw that tips his accusers over the edge. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This always reminds me of that lovely hymn, There is a Redeemer. And that final verse, when I stand in glory, I will see his face and I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. What a tune. And what an expectation to have. Anyway, three things to note about this. Firstly, all three parts of the Trinity are present at the same time. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, sees the glory of God with Jesus standing at the right hand of God. This doesn't really happen often in the Bible. It's normally at momentous occasions, such as the baptism of Jesus. So it points to the significance of Stephen's story, of Stephen's death. Secondly, Jesus' presence. What I mean is, Jesus is only in Acts three times. At the beginning, when he's taken up to heaven, on the Damascus Road in chapter 9, when he confronts Paul, then Saul, and here at the death of Stephen. Surely this is another point into the importance of this message, of this passage. Thirdly, Jesus is standing, not sitting at the right hand of the Father. This has been suggested by some commentators to either mean that Jesus is standing to welcome Stephen into heaven, knowing that he's about to be killed. Or that Jesus is standing to act as a witness for Stephen before heaven. Fulfilling Luke 12, where Jesus says, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. Personally, I think it's both to welcome Stephen in and to act as a witness. Either way, what a gift and what a prize. And that waits for us all. All of us who publicly acknowledge Jesus. Back to the reading. Stephen says this. And as I said, this is the final straw for the accusers. They cover their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Perhaps they had Deuteronomy 13 in mind while Stephen was speaking. It says, do not yield to them or listen to them. That would explain the hands over the ears and the yelling. Do not listen to them. It continues, show them no pity. Do not spare them or shield them. You must certainly put them to death. Your hand must be the first in putting them to death. And then the hands of all the people. Stone them to death. And that is just what they did to him. This is a pivotal moment for the faith. From this moment onwards, the authorities will now actively persecute the church, and the church scatters from Jerusalem. And in our reading this morning, we are about to be introduced to one of the main persecutors. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Here we have the introduction of Paul, who would soon have his own encounter with the risen Lord on that road to Damascus. And then he would go on to spread the good news around the known world. Paul, in whose own words, admits to being a persecutor of believers in Jesus. But it has to be said, something about the death of Stephen stays with Paul. We know this because in Acts 22, Paul finds himself back in Jerusalem after some of his travels and ends up nearly killed by a mob, being arrested by the Roman troops, but somehow ends up speaking to the crowd. And in this talk, Paul says this, "And when the young blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." He remembers. He remembers Stephen. Paul too ends up in front of the Sanhedrin, but that's for another time. As I've said, something about Stephen stays with Paul. The way Stephen bears witness to the risen Lord, but the way he follows his Jesus' example, even to death. And this is borne out most extraordinarily in the last couple of verses from the reading this morning. "While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' When he said this, he fell asleep." In the death of Stephen, we see echoes of the death of Jesus. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Jesus on the cross, "Father, into your hand I commit my spirit." And like Jesus, he too cried out. Then we have Stephen saying, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And on Good Friday, we heard these words coming from Jesus' lips on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." It is clear the writer of Acts, Luke, wants us to notice the similarities of Jesus' death and Stephen's death. Both said similar things. Both were murdered horribly. Both were holy men. What we know is that Stephen's life and death models Jesus. And it is a great model for us too. Stephen models Jesus by his forgiveness to his persecutors because he believes in the power of Jesus. Forgives, even at the moment of his death. Oh, I have a faith like that, to forgive even in the toughest moments of life. Stephen demonstrates his trust in the risen Christ even to the point of death. Sometimes, when the going is tough, it can feel I have not been blessed, or I've been overlooked by God. Yet we still believe and trust in the risen Christ because we know we are not alone. We know that we are loved equally, yet uniquely. Look, Jesus doesn't promise to make life easy, but does promise to be there every step of the way. It's no surprise that one, if not the most famous Christian poem in recent times, is Footprints, And I imagine quite a few of us have this poem somewhere in our house and find comfort in those words. A couple of nods, good. But then words. My precious child, I love you and I still and will never leave you. Never, ever. During your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Trust in the risen Christ. Stephen became a martyr, we know that, for the belief in the risen Lord. Did you know the word martyr means witness? His death was a witness to the power of the risen Lord amid all the hostilities. We know this witness as it was pivotal in the development of the church, of the mission, of the faith. It was no doubt an inspiration for Paul, as mentioned, and many others throughout the centuries. Stephen was a witness to this power in his actions, in his wisdom, in his grace, in his death. You could say, in all areas of life, every area. Do we do that? Are we a witness in every area? Do I do that? Do I bear witness, for example, in how I drive my car? In how I conduct myself on the train up to London? How I conduct myself at work, in the supermarket, in the high street, in the home, in the good times, in the bad? How do I conduct myself? Am I a witness? Yes, the period of celebrating Easter is about rejoicing and is about wonder and is about alleluias. But it is also a reminder that the message is oh so costly. And it can be difficult due to circumstances, due to hostilities, due to persecution. But with the Holy Spirit, we can find strength to do the hardest of things. I could go on, but I think I will leave it here. And the words of that hymn once again. When I stand in glory, I will see his face and I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. What a tune. What an expectation to have. Amen.